Recently, you travelled from the Torres Strait to Gladstone for some disaster wildlife training. What was that experience like?
Yeah, so that my first time to Gladstone, being from far north Queensland, it was cold. But yeah, I enjoyed it. It was very informative, very eye-opening. So what it was a oiled wildlife response course. So it taught us what to do in the event of an oil spill. I've done oil spill cleanup courses in the past, but this course in Gladstone was more relevant to the wildlife and how we protect the wildlife and how we respond to oiled wildlife. So we were taught how to handle birds and how to care for them and put them through rehabilitation after we've cleaned the oil off them, and how to sort of not manage an operation, but what the logistics behind that operation are.
And how did the training help you? Are there any skills that you think you'll apply back in the Torres Strait? I mean, are there a lot of oil spills in the channels?
Thankfully, no, but there is a risk for it to happen. So the Torres Strait is one of Australia's busiest shipping lanes. So it's sort of the link between Australia and Asia. So we have a lot of ships passing through, carrying different things, from cattle, live cattle, to oil. And so there is that risk of a ship running aground on one of the thousands of reefs throughout the region. And in the case that it does, we're prepared now from that training to assist in the oil cleanup and the wildlife response.
And back to your experiences, how long have you been a ranger?
Being a ranger in the Torres Strait for about 9 years. I started in 2013 as a ranger trainee, and between then and now I've been a ranger on Mare, a senior ranger on Mare, a ranger supervisor for the Eastern Islands, so Mare, Ugar, Erub and Masi, and I'm now the senior ranger supervisor for the Top Western. So that's Boi Gu, Duan and Saibai.
And what's that like, being a ranger for Boi Gu, Duan and Saibai? I mean, is it very different from being a ranger on the Eastern Islands?
Yeah, I love it up there. Very friendly people. Made lots of friends and family up that way. The landscape, so there are four main landscape types or island types in the Torres Strait, and they're unique to those, the clusters that they're in. So the Eastern Islands, they're volcanic, lush tropical islands. In the eastern and the central, you have the low-lying sand caves, and then the near-western, so Badu, Mavyog and Moa, they're the granite islands, the continental islands. And then in the top western, you have the low-lying, the mudflat islands of Saibai and Boi Gu, and Duan's a continental island, it's a granite island, but it's part of the top western group. Yeah.
And how does the wildlife differ and change within the island groups?
Yeah, so on the top western islands, you have animals that are found on Papua New Guinea on the mainland there, mainly birds and insects, some reptiles. Near western islands, the big islands, you get animals that you find in the mainland of Australia, so echidnas and bandicoots, drill neck lizards. Out east, it's more isolated, so we have animals from both continents, from both mainlands, so New Guinea and Australia. But because they're so isolated, they've been there for so long.
What are some of the risks and concerns you're faced with in the Torres Strait in regards to the wildlife? I imagine climate change, rising sea levels, temperature rising are the three big ones, but what are some other threats?
On the land, so definitely climate change and rising sea levels. The low-lying islands, the sand caves and the sand banks, they support rookeries for green sea turtles and as well as seabirds. And the rising sea level is threatening those rookeries with inundation and slowly eroding the islands, making the islands smaller and smaller. So animals are competing to nest. And then up in the top western, you have threats from invasive species coming down from New Guinea, invasive fish in the wet season when it rains a lot, the rivers flood, and it makes the water between Saibai, Buibu, and Duan and Papua New Guinea less salty, and then freshwater fish can make their way over to the islands, which has happened. So we have climbing perch and tilapia on Saibai and Buibu.
And I guess being a Miriam man, how does your traditional knowledge help with your ranger work?
Our traditional knowledge allows us to know what animals are around in what seasons, where to find those animals, what animals should be in what places, and what animals shouldn't be in what places. And so we combine that with the conservation efforts and Western science to know what invasive species are. And we do a lot of surveys, a lot of eyes and ears, patrols out on countries, looking for things that shouldn't be there. When we do find something that shouldn't be there, if we know what it is, we'll intervene with what training we have. If not, we have a team of people that we can contact to inform us on what those animals or plants or what that invasive species is and how we can best tackle it.
And for you, Aaron, why is preserving and protecting our Torres Strait wildlife so important?
Well, there are some significant animals in the Torres Strait from a conservation perspective, namely the dugong and turtle.
Mm-hmm.
So the Torres Strait's one of the world's dugong hotspots. We have such a large population of dugong for such a small area. Same with green turtles. And of the seven species of marine turtle in the world, Torres Strait supports six of those. And they're also, a lot of animals also have totemic and cultural significance. So a lot of families, clan groups, and tribes associate with those animals being their totems and representing their clans.